Thank you, Pastor, and thank you for the opportunity to preach. I really don't take that for granted, and I appreciate it, and I want you to know it. Let's take our Bibles now, and I want you to go to John 15, if you will. John chapter 15, and we're going to be reading verses 1 through 11. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. You know, I believe that God expects His children to bear fruit. I believe God expects us to mature in the Lord and not just to bear fruit or some fruit, but much fruit. And that's what we need to look at today in our own lives, in our own hearts. Am I really bearing fruit for God, like the Bible says? Am I doing what God says? How do I do that? What's involved in it? And it's not just a suggestion. It's what God teaches us we should do. So John 15, 1, follow along as I read. I hope you have your Bible with you. I am the true vine, and my Father's the husbandman. He owns the vineyard. He's the one in charge of it. He's the farmer. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. Now, one of the first things I think we have to realize is you'll never bear fruit until you're in the vine. In other words, people can work and work and labor and labor, and they don't get saved, and they think all their good deeds and all their good works are going to get them to heaven. And that is a fruit that God does not accept. You're not even in the vine. And you've got to be born again. Amen? Born again. You're spiritually dead. You have to be born again from above through the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit to save your soul. And then once you are saved, you are placed into the vine. You're a branch, as the Bible teaches us here. And so you have only the right to claim that if you have been born again. Very simple elementary stuff we need to be reminded of. And that is, you're not saved by your works. You don't get saved by baptismal regeneration. And you don't get saved by going through some tradition that might be in some churches where you think that partaking of the elements allows you to take Jesus' body into you and therefore you're saved as a result of that. There's only one way to be saved, and that's to admit you're a sinner, know it, call on Jesus, ask him to save you and come into your heart, and I promise you he'll do it. That's the only way to get in the vine. Not just joining a church, all these other things. You must be born again. Born from above, the Spirit of God. So I hope you're in the vine today. But once we're in the vine, we are commanded to abide in Christ. If you're saved, you are commanded by a divine imperative of God. Look at verses 2 and 3, if you will. Verses 2 and 3. Let's go to verse 4. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Without me ye can do nothing. Here's the divine imperative, and that is that you abide in the vine. It's not a matter of volition or choice alone. It's a matter of a commandment of God that we abide in the vine. Now, here's the question. How do you do that? Somebody walks up to you and said, are you abiding in the vine? And you said, yes, I am. Well, how are you doing that? How are you abiding in the vine? There's a biblical way for us to abide in the vine. And how do we do it? Well, one way is through the Word of God. Look at verse 3. Now you're clean through what? The Word. The Word. You've got to stay in the Word. And then look down at verse 7, the first part. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. In other words, folks, we've got to spend some time in the Word of God. And if we don't spend time in the Word of God, we won't have that spiritual washing that we need every day of our lives. We're not going to have it. We must spend time in the Word of God. So here's the question. What keeps you from the Bible? What keeps you from spending the amount of time on a daily basis that you should spend in the Word of God? One of those things I would say would be entertainment. We like to be entertained. Television is one of them. Now, I'm not one of those guys that throws it out and burns it up and all that. But I like to see the Cowboys lose too much to do that. But at any rate, we have entertainment. I thought when I retired a few years ago, I thought, you know, I'm going to have time. I can just sit down and relax sometimes. It hadn't quite worked out that way. I'm still catching up on honey-do list. But at any rate, I thought I could video some tapes and just sit back and watch all of those old-fashioned ones. I don't care for the modern ones there. Ooh, just that way, most of them. And so I sat down and watched them a while, and finally I got so bored with them, I thought, this is wasteful time. Same plot, same deal. You know how Perry Mason's going to win every time. Every time. He never misses. And so I've just sort of gotten bored with them, and I got to thinking the Spirit of God said, yeah, why don't you use your time for something a little more valuable, like studying the Bible and reading the Bible. And I'm saying this, that sometimes we allow entertainment to do that. Videos, movies, we allow sharing video websites. And then we come to something called the social media. The social media. And I'm not against some of the modern things if they're done right, but we have WeChat. Boy, there's a lot of chatting goes on WeChat. You have Instagrams. You have TikTok. And I said earlier in the service, a lot of people waste a lot of TikTok time on TikTok. Just TikTok, TikTok, TikTok. And we have Twitter. And you tweet all you want to tweet. And I don't even know how to tweet on Twitter yet, but I don't know that I want to do that. But we also have Facebook. Oh, yeah. We've got to find out through information, what everybody else is doing. So we get on Facebook until we go to sleep, or maybe some other time. We get on that. They said that 2.5 billion people, listen, 2.5 billion people logged on each month to Facebook in 2020. Each month. 2.5 billion people. 7 billion in the world, 2.5 billion each month logged on to Facebook. I'm just simply saying, what keeps you from the Word? Is it hobbies? Is it laziness? Surely there's no lazy Baptist in the world. Although I do think I've met a few. I had a few on my staff. Not you, but I had a few. They didn't stay long. You stayed 8 years. But anyway, what keeps you from the Word? So we have to stay in the Word of God. You cannot abide in Christ if you don't stay in the Word of God. You just cannot do it. And you've got to do whatever it takes to get that done. And then there's prayer and meditation, both. You must, if you're going to abide in Christ, you must have a good, solid prayer life. Not a hop, skip, and jump prayer life. Not a, well, I can work it out now or now and then, but a daily prayer life with God. And I know everybody's busy. We're all busy. It's a matter of priorities. Will we have our prayer life or not? We must, in the ministry, I know, Pastor, you know, and when I was pastoring, we were so busy, so busy. I know some of you folks think he just sits around, twiddle his thumbs, said, I hope somebody calls me. It just doesn't work that way. We're busy, busy, busy. But you cannot be too busy in the ministry or anywhere else where you don't spend time praying, calling on Almighty God. We have to do that and then meditate on the Word. What does that mean? It means study it. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of God, the Word of truth. Study. We need to spend some time. Get you some good helps, some books that help you out with the Bible, and study those things. And meditate on them and apply them to your heart. And then verse 10, here's what he says to do with them. Verse 10 in our text, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Jesus said, I came down here and I've kept my Father's commandments. That's what I'm doing. He says to you and me, we're supposed to do the very same thing. Not just read the Word and study the Word, but to obey the Word of God. What good does it do us to read the Word and study the Word and then not obey the Word? God wants us to obey the Word, and we need to do that. I said David probably got away from these disciplines in his life. David probably was not praying or maybe reading whatever scriptures was available to him. He wasn't walking close to God. And probably that's the reason he committed adultery with Bathsheba. He was not walking close to God. And he began to gaze out at that woman. And he decided, I'm going to have her. He was not walking and abiding in God, or he never would have done that. He just wouldn't have done it. And then he had her husband killed. He wouldn't have done that. But he was not living close to God at that time. Whatever things pulled him away and took him away. It can happen to us too. Samson was the same way. I believe when Samson started out, he was a good godly man. And he was doing the right things. But then he disobeyed some of God's principles. And he got in trouble. And he wound up with his eyes gouged out. And he wound up dying by pulling the pillars down upon himself and the people that were gathered together as he had been grinding there previously in that meal. He got away from God somehow and God's Word and God's purposes. And we've got to stay in the Word of God if we're going to abide in the Lord Jesus Christ. And remember, it is a commandment. Now, notice what happens next. See what happens to the branch that is not bearing fruit. What happens to the branch that is not bearing fruit? One of the things he does is he removes it and burns it. Look back in verse 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And then down in verse 6, the Bible says in this verse, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. What he's saying is they're of no value anymore. They're of no use. They're not bearing fruit. They're not producing what I want them to produce. And so the husbandman, the farmer, says, that's no good. He comes through and he says, cut them off and throw them into the fire. Now, he's not saying that you lose your salvation. You cannot read that into that, because we know John 10:28 says, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." I'm glad I'm saved for sure, for certain. I'm on my way to heaven. Nobody's going to get my salvation. I got it through the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm going to heaven. I'm on my way to heaven because of that. And I hope and trust that you are, and that you know that you are. And he's not contradicting his word, but he's just saying, when you get to where you're not bearing fruit, I'm just going to put you on the shelf. I'm going to put you on the side. I'm just going to destroy what testimony that you might have. By the way, that branch, if it hangs on and stays there, it infects the vine. And not only that, it allows insects to get in there and spoil the vine. And so he says, I don't want that. We got people in churches like that. People in churches like that who are not producing fruit, who are not serving God like they should, who are not abiding in the Lord. And in some cases, honestly, a church might be better off without them, because they might be doing more hindrance, living in sin and hurting that body, than if they were abiding in Christ. But it infects the rest of the vine. Now, may I remind you, too, in the Bible, that there is something called a sin unto death. And I think this might lend to that, where if we don't do what God says, we don't obey God, and we don't abide in him, then God may call us home. You know, it's like the mama calling her little boy, "Johnny, come on in." "Johnny, quit doing that. Johnny, do that." Finally, she said, "Come in the house. You're through." Because he wouldn't obey. My brother was 25 years of age. Some of you have heard this story, but some haven't, so let me share it. He was 25 years of age. He was making money left and right, had a beautiful sports car. Those are the things we live for, aren't they? Men. And all of that kind of thing. But he got away from God. When I was a little fellow in a little country church, my daddy was a deacon. He sat up on the front row. Deacons, are you listening? No, Daddy was sitting in front. You're serving. But I would sit with my mother a lot of times, and sometimes my brother. My brother was older than me a few years. And I'd sit in on his lap, and he would take his finger and show me how to follow the notes up and down so I could learn how to sing. I'm still working on it, but so I could learn how to sing. In other words, he served the Lord. He was always in church. He lived for the Lord. But when he got out of the Marines and he began to make big money, I mean big money, he got away from God. I could tell you a lot of stories about it, but no need to do that. But I can tell you, I heard my uncle tell him under a tree one day. He said, "Billy," he said, "you need to get right with God. If you don't, God may take you." And Billy loved Uncle Raymond, who was a preacher. And he said, "I know, Uncle, I know. And I'm telling you, within about a month, my brother was dead in a car wreck." You say, "That's just coincidental." I don't think so. I think my brother sinned his life to the point there's a sin unto death, and God called him home, took him home. So what I'm saying to you, dear friend, is if you don't bear fruit and you're not abiding in the vine and you get sin in your life and start living more like the world than Christ, God could call you home, and certainly he could put you on the shelf. Well, then look, too, God will purge the branches. In verse 2, in the latter part, not only does he take them away, but in every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. God purges the vine, and he purges the branches. Why does he do that? Well, one thing is he wants better quality fruit out here. Better quality. And so he purges it so that that bad fruit or all the fruit up front doesn't take all of the sustenance from the vine, so that the others suffer on the other end. He wants quality, and not only that, he wants quantity. He wants all the vine to produce more and more and more. And as he says in the verse, much, much fruit. And so we have to know that God will purge us sometimes, and He's not trying to hurt us, but He allows trouble and problems in my life, in your life, so that He can draw us closer to Him and so that we can bear more fruit. A lot of people say, oh, God, make me fruitful, but just don't purge me. Make me fruitful, but don't monkey with me. Just let me have it, everything good all the time. Listen, sometimes the financial reversal, the health problems, the marriage problems, the other things you run into, God allows those to purge you, to make you bear more fruit, and to make you live closer to Him. That's just the way. He's not trying to hurt us. I'm told that vineyard pruners today have to be trained for 2 years. They're very meticulous in training them, and they want to help them not damage the vine. They train them where to cut. They train them how to cut. And they train them what angle to cut on. It's a very precise thing in order to get the kind of vineyard and crops and grapes that they want. And I'm telling you, God does that to us sometimes. And here's the thing. Don't get mad at God when God is purging you. Many people, when they go through trials and difficulties, rather than saying, God, what are you trying to teach me? God, I take this. We get mad at God or angry at God or question God. And that's wrong, the wrong attitude toward God purging us. He's not trying to hurt us. He's only trying to help us. Now, what kind of fruit does He want us to bear? Bear fruit. Fruit, some fruit, much fruit, more fruit, much fruit. What kind of fruit does He want us to bear? What's He talking about? Well, one thing is found in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And that is, win somebody to Christ. Go tell other people about Christ. They won't always get saved, but you're after that one that will. And I was forced into sales work 1 year of my life after I graduated from seminary. And I found out something. You got to make the calls to feed your wife and little baby. And if you don't, you don't mark up the sales. I used to sell frequency modulated equipment like fire trucks and all used for General Electric. And then in some big factories where a little radio the size of two packs of cigarettes, most of you Baptists understand that, two packs of cigarettes, it cost $700. And that type thing. I found out you better make the calls to get the results. But I'm telling you, we've got to witness. And I'm saying this. I'm going to say this. Just do it. Just do it. You say, well, it's hard. I know it's hard. It's hard for me to do it. It's hard for anybody to do it. But just do it. And I was telling him this morning, I had to have my car serviced and bought some new tires. The guy was taking me back to the house. They kept the vehicle. And I was witnessing to him. I already witnessed to the other guy, but I was witnessing to him. And I knew I didn't have much time. And both of them, I just said, look, I want to get right into this. I want to find out, are you saved? Are you going to heaven? Do you know you're going to heaven? That wasn't hard. And he said, well, I hope so, I think so. I said, is that all you've got? You just a hope so, think so? And I said, let me tell you how to be saved. And I told him and gave him the opportunity. He was driving, you know, didn't want to take it and left him with a tract. What I'm simply saying is just do it. Just do it. Some people won't like it. So what? They crucified our Savior. They beat Paul, Silas, and others, threw them in prison. So what? We just must be disciplined to witness to other people, and then our churches will fill up and overrun. And I don't want to put you on a horrible guilt trip, but I'm just telling you, people, God says, if you abide in me, you will produce fruit. And the fruit of a saved Christian is another Christian. The fruit of a Christian is another Christian. Winning them to Jesus Christ. We must do that. And then the other is found in Galatians 5, verses 22. And in these verses, we have the fruit of the Spirit. Our pastor has been preaching some messages on that, doing a tremendous job on it. So I just want to touch on it very quickly. But he tells us in verse 22 of Galatians 5, but the fruit, God wants us to bear fruit. This must be in that category. But he says the fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is love. Do you have love for one another today? Anybody in this church, it irks you and you can't stand? You say, yeah, that's true. I still love them, though. I don't know. I don't know how you put those two things together. But we're to love people. We're to love a lost and dying world. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Joy. Joy, joy, joy. I said, and I believe this, some people I get around, Christians, look like they've been sucking dill pickles for 6 months. Now, I know some people physically can't smile too good, but attempt it once in a while. Have the joy of the Lord. Let's let it beam out on you. I'm saved. Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm saved. You don't have to be an idiot about it, but just be happy about it. Just be joyous about it. Let everybody around you know, hey, I'm a Christian, and I have the joy of the Lord down in my soul, we used to sing. We have the joy and peace. Do you have peace? No, preacher, I'm worried to death about the COVID. No, preacher, I'm worried to death what's going to happen politically. I'm worried to death about that. Look, don't worry about it. God's got it under control. You've heard that many times, but it's the truth. God has it under control. And if it doesn't work out the way we wanted it to, it worked out in God's permissive plan or maybe God's sovereign plan. This nation has been asking for God's judgment for a long time. We really have. The only cure for it is revival. And God can give us a revival. And so all of these things, long-suffering, are you long-suffering? Husbands with your wives, wives with your husbands. Parents with your children, children with your parents. Gentleness, goodness, faith, not worrying about everything, meekness, temperance against such there is no law. And then he mentions a lot of bad things up here in those other verses like adultery, fornication, lying, and all of that. That's not of the Spirit. That's not of the Spirit. So what he's saying is that we should bear fruit. And those are just two areas that we have time to talk about. Now, what is the purpose of bearing fruit? God said, I want you to bear fruit, abide in the vine, and bear fruit. Why? What is the purpose of bearing fruit? Well, he answers it in his word. In verse 8, Jesus said, herein is my Father glorified. My Father is glorified. Glorified. And just keep that in your mind. As what he's talking about. He is glorified that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. By the way, disciple ought to follow the Lord. I say that we like the term Jesus, Savior, Messiah, the Anointed One. But what about that word Lord? What does that mean? What does the word Lord mean? It means he is in control of your heart, your mind, your life. He is Lord. And if he's not Lord of your life, something's wrong with whatever you've got. He should be the Lord of our lives. And the result is, the purpose of this, bearing much fruit, is God is glorified. Don't we want to glorify God? We do, don't we? Glorify God. Glorify God. Glorify God. Jesus said, I came down here so I could glorify my Father, which is in heaven. That was his purpose. Save us too, of course, to seek and save the lost. But we're to glorify, glorify, glorify the Lord. And the only way we can do that is abide in him, and then that brings him glory. I try to run everything through a mental, spiritual sieve in my life anymore. And sometime, it's been a while, a good while back, and I said, I wanted to run this through. Is what I'm doing, is where I'm going, my plans, my life, all of the things that I'm involved in, run it through the sieve. Are they glorifying God? Don't you think they should? Isn't that why we're here? To glorify God, the Creator, the one who made us, the one who formed you in your mother's womb, to glorify Almighty God. Jesus said that we are to do the very same thing, to glorify Him. God is glorified. And then another benefit in verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you. I've told you this, Jesus said. Well, tell us why, Lord. Tell us another reason. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. He said, I've given you these instructions. I've told you to abide in me. I've told you and given you some instructions on how to do it, to obey me and do all of that. Why? So you'll be a happy Christian. Did you know God wants you to be filled with the joy of the Lord? God wants you to be a happy Christian. Christianity is not morbid and negative and all that. Christianity is fun. Christianity is joyful. Christianity is wonderful when you know the Lord Jesus Christ and you do that. And so he says that your joy may be what? Full. That's like a coffee cup running over. Better yet, in these days, hot chocolate. Amen. With some little marshmallows on top of it. That really makes it good. Running over. Running over, running over. He doesn't want you to have just a little bit of joy, just some joy, but he wants you to be running over that your joy may be full. Is your joy full today? That your joy may be full. Then the last thing, that's the favorite part of any message. That's the point you've been watching your watch for and say, yeah, yeah. I do the same thing when Brother Jill is preaching, but you do too. What are you laughing at? But notice how abiding affects our prayers. If you're not abiding, you're not going to get your prayers answered. How do you know? Well, look, let's go to the Bible. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will. That's broad. That's broad. Ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. If you're abiding in the Lord and you're walking in holiness, that's going to happen. Verse 16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, okay? And that your fruit should remain, all right? That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. If we are living for God, we're abiding in the vine, we're producing fruit, then we have the right to call on God and say, God, I need your help. To pray and say, God, I have this financial need, I have this health need, I have this need with my teenager that is backslidden and not listening to us, I have this need, whatever it may be, and we have the right to go to God in prayer. And whatever the need may be, and we will, of course, if we're abiding in him, pray according to his will. We would not pray against what is revealed in his word. We'd pray according to his will and pray with confidence. I'm abiding in the Lord. I'm staying in the word. I'm praying. I'm living right. I'm obeying him. Therefore, God, you have said that I could come to you in prayer and ask anything. That's powerful. Anything. Now, I'm not talking about prosperity junk, but I'm talking about things that are in the will of God that he wants us to do. I'm talking about what God's will would be. Now, you better be on praying ground. You know it's good to be on praying ground? Because tomorrow you may face the worst situation you have ever faced in your life. You never know. The pastor and I have a good friend, Brother Chuck Weatherby, his wife Shelley, and their granddaughter went out, nice, beautiful young lady, and was in a head-on collision. A guy crossed over and hit her head-on. She's been sort of brain dead almost on machines for a while. They unplugged her yesterday or the day before, and she died. And I guarantee you she wasn't planning on that to happen that day. What I'm just saying is you need to abide in the Lord, do what he says, and live close to him, because tomorrow may be the day you need one of the greatest prayers you ever had answered. And if you're not abiding in the vine, he's not obligated to hear your prayer. Let's bow our heads, please. We'll have an invitation in a moment. I'm just going to ask you, are you abiding in Christ? Are you abiding in Christ? Could you say yes? Or could you say no? I'm not the way you're talking about it. I probably need to improve that. I need to make some changes in my prayer life. I need to make some changes in my Bible reading and obeying the Lord. I need to, and by the way, holiness is part of it. Listen, if you've got sin in your life, if you have sin in your life, and hey, you and God know. Nobody else may know, but you and God know. You know. No doubt about it. You know. Then you need to confess that and make it right with God. Do you have the fruit that is proof that you're abiding in the Lord? And then I go back to this. Are you in the vine? Are you saved? I got saved when I was a 9-year-old boy. There's some young people here in this building. Are you saved, boys and girls? You can receive Christ as your Savior today if you understand these principles that we're talking about, getting saved by grace. There may be an adult here that's that way. Maybe some folks here today that need to join a good Bible-believing church that wants to produce much fruit for the glory of God. Here's a good Bible-believing church, soul-winning church, missions-minded church, with a fine young man as a pastor. I would encourage you, why not join today? Let's stand, please, and we'll pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to you, thank you for your word. Thank you for the simplicity of it and yet the importance of it for us to obey, to know that it is your word, it is your will. And Father, if there's someone here that you've spoken to today that may not be abiding in you just like they know they should, help them to make it right today. Either to come to this altar and pray or right where they are, whatever you lead them to do, God. But if there's someone here without Christ, we pray that they'd come to Christ right now, this very time, in this invitation. Maybe some who might want to join this church and make other decisions to follow you in baptism. Whatever it may be, may your will be done. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.